Ja, gute Woche, gute Woche. So, wir in Peres Alvarez, we're doing Shal Cheshbon and Nefesh. Gimel, we're in the seventh Cheshbon, Hashvi'i. I think that's where we were. Hashvi'i. So, let's see. Hashvi'i. Perspective number seven to contemplate is Cheshbon Adam, to be thinking about your place with Hashem in terms of Bitnae Ha'avdus. Do I meet the grade? Do I meet the definition of an Eved? As we'll see soon, the Chovas HaVavos makes this a very great title to aspire for. Meaning, Hashem grants us the status of banim. That's a gift, an unbelievably immense gift, which we've spoken about often. But as far as we're concerned, we want to aspire to earn the title of avadim. That is kiviyachol, so to speak, a million times, what we can offer Hashem. Even that I say that with a lot of re reservation and trepidation. And I'll add even more than that. The ability to strive for such a title is also a privilege because a person comes and tells the king, "Hi, I'm ready to sign up as your servant." The king says, "Take a hike." There's a lot of screening processes and there's a lot of awful lot in place before a person can actually earn that title. So even though we certainly put the primary stress in terms of our relationship with Hashem as banim, but we can't undermine the importance of the very glorious title of being an Eved Hashem and of being able to say, "I actually qualify. I actually qualify. I can honestly present myself as an Eved Hashem." And as we'll see soon, that is what creates a real dynamic between you and Hashem and causes him, kiviyachol, to cherish the relationship. Meaning, a person can have sons, maybe there are sons who aren't in contact. But it's us fueling that title of Eved that causes Hashem to say, "Wow, this person really understands what a relationship with me is. And that is something that I'm going to cherish and invest in a mutual way." Let's see where he goes. Which basically means to put yourself in a place where you are recognizing the dynamic between you and Hashem and accepting upon yourself that he is the master. This really is the subject of the third shah of this sefer, Shah Vidasalikim. See there, we've learned that in the past. But the point is as follows. He really here, what he's doing here is really referencing the whole discussion of Shah Vidasalikim. Shah Vidasalikim is basically about the understanding that we're here in this world not just to do what Hashem wants when he wants us to do it, but we're here in this world to gain the identity of a person who lives for Hashem's will. Or, in other words, to gain the identity of what we're calling an Eved. How does this work? Now, we want to make this clear because when we say the word Eved, slave, that naturally has a certain negative connotation in our minds, of course. But you have to think that there were all kinds of different avodim. There was the Eved where you had 200 slaves working on the plantation together. And it was really not a very honorable mark on the history of mankind when that was the reality, when human beings could just be used in such a mass way and their lives were cheap. But then you have an Eved like Eliezer, who is basically Avram's one right man hand, and is running his entire broad estate. It's a different kind of Eved. We're talking about kiviyachol, a personal attendant. the one who is entrusted with the king's most important matters. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about being an Eved, when we're talking about gaining the glorious title of Eved. But again, the point of it is that this is a person who sees their identity. My identity, in essence, is it's not that I have my life and I have my things, and when they're supposed to do, I'll do them. And of course, I won't do the things I'm not supposed to do. No, my identity in life, what I live for, my agenda in life is to excel as an Eved. This is where the Chovetz Chavavos is. This is essentially what he's doing in the Shah of Yisrael the King. It's to get us to make a switch in our mind in terms of how we identify ourselves. So now, V'yachshav now, how are you supposed to get there? The Chovetz Chavavos, in his world, it's very clear. It's all about Hakaras HaToiv. That's the Chovetz Chavavos' constant thread. For him, that is the whole basis of Avodas Hashem. And it's the highest level of Avodas Hashem. Avodas Hashem that is driven by a keen awareness of everything that Hashem is doing for me and has been doing for me, and that I just feel so indebted that I just can't help by dedicating myself to it. So, when you really recognize all of the great tovus that Hashem is doing for you, by providing you with all your needs, caring for you, giving you food all the time, and it doesn't just leave you to your own feeble devices, in terms of taking care of your affairs. What do I mean by that? He's saying that if you were to be busy taking care of your own affairs without Hashem's help, you'd be very feeble. Now, is that so? Meaning many of us are pretty on top of our affairs and we take care of them pretty well. But is that actually true? You have to think for a minute. If Hashem was really going to make you in charge of all your affairs, that would also mean you'd be a very, very busy person, because as soon as you eat a meal, you're the one responsible for making sure that all the nutrients go where they need to go. You have to make sure that all the waste goes where it needs to go. You have to make sure that the food works its way through the kidneys and the liver, that the, and then goes into the blood, which makes its way through the liver. You have to be on top of all those processes. When will you have time to work? It's your problem. So Hashem is does not be, and you'd be pretty feeble as far as that goes, meaning how good would you be at that? At making sure that your all the systems of your body are running and constantly monitoring them and keeping on top of them. So Hashem basically tells you, when it comes to taking care of yourself and taking care of your affairs, I'll cover 95% of it. There's a couple of areas that I'll leave you a little bit to deal with. So these are all things that the Chovetz Chavavos wants to train us toward, and that's what Shaar HaBchinah is all about. Here he's just referencing it very, very concisely. So now, the Chovetz Chavavos keeps putting this into a league in its own when it comes to appreciating the chesed that Hashem does with you, is that he granted you intelligence. Again, we're not going to elaborate on this. We talked about this plenty. Yanik b'hem minyanav, through which you can care for yourself. The point is that when you really take all this in and appreciate it, yeidah chovetz elikovelov, then you will appreciate quite how indebted and obligated you are to Hashem. This, he says, is a madriga we want to reach. We want to reach the madriga of not living in the dark, of being aware of our place, of our reality, and responding accordingly, having the right sentiments, chapping quite how much Hashem is showering us with good, and responding with that sense of, whoa, what can I possibly do to start reciprocating? And here he reads this into a pasuk in an amazing way. David Olav Hashalom said, "Avdecha ani havineni, I am your servant. Let me understand." Probably said this in the past, but it would be very fascinating to pull out of Chovetz Chavavos when he brings psukim, when he quotes psukim in different contexts. He's actually giving different slants on the psukim. It would be very interesting to put it all together and like put out a pirush of the Chovetz Chavavos in these psukim. But he's reading a very amazing pshat into this pasuk. David HaMelech says, "I am your servant. Help me understand." Chovetz Chavavos is understanding that to mean, in this context, I am your servant. Help me understand that, meaning give me the intelligence and the seichel to be able to see quite how indebted I am to you and to really sense my servitude toward you. David is asking Hashem to help him sense that. And this is where the Chovas HaLevavos is trying to guide us. Ha'eved Simone. And when the servant does indeed recognize and sense all of the taiva that the master is doing for him, the kaltanoisa, and how even all of your movements are being controlled and fueled by Hashem, the shumashki full of tummy, and that Hashem is constantly focused on you, ve'yadea nigloisov. And Hashem is always focused on you and sees everything you're doing, but not just that, he's also always focused on what's going on inside you, meaning usually that's our realm of privacy. I'm talking to somebody, I can present myself however I want, but whatever's going on in my mind, they have no idea. With Hashem, it's all on the table. And therefore, if we talk about being presentable, right? You're about to meet somebody, you want to look presentable, somebody's going to come to the house, you want to look presentable. You have to make sure to be looking good externally. Right? When you're talking about being presentable before Hashem, it also means you want to make sure that your mind is in the right place, everything going on inside you is in the right place, because that's also on the table. It's a little bit of an intimidating thought.
Sometimes you have thoughts in your head. Is that like you're held responsible for your thoughts if you don't prepare them for actions or words or something?
So, you know what? That will get a little overwhelming if we go in that direction. But I would like to keep it at the level of we're talking about the higher levels of it. Meaning the thoughts that we're responsible for, if we're talking in terms of hard averas, is if you are actually thinking about Chas v'Shalom, your I don't know, Yashka or somebody like that, in or actually in your mind, thinking the wrong thoughts about Hashem, like those are avelos. But everything else we'd already call in the realm of we want to refine and refine and refine our level. And he's introducing us to a level of refining, and that is where our thoughts are under control, and our thoughts also are meant to be pleasing Hashem. Not just the things I'm doing, I'm performing for Hashem, but also where my mind is. I realize that he's watching that. He wants to get nachas from seeing where my mind is. And therefore, I make sure to keep my mind in the right place to be generating in my mind thoughts that will please him, consciousness that will please him, but not on the level of being held accountable. Held accountable for thoughts that are real averus, kfira, avodah zarah, etc. Okay. So now, v'shomer olav kol tnuyosav, and how Hashem is on top of all of your movements, v'kosha oisav ba'asurav, and he keeps them confined. We'll explain this in a minute, Blinada. Umayshabaya. And he controls them. Meaning as follows. We know that we have Bechira, right? But if you think about it a little bit, you also understand that your Bechira is pretty limited. Meaning your Bechira depends on a lot of things around you being in place, working out, et cetera, such that even in the areas that you do have Bechira, Hashem is maintaining a tight control and he's deciding where to open up and where not to let things happen. We know that there are many things throughout the day that you would like to do, and for whatever reason it didn't work out, things that are essentially in your control. So this is just a humbling thought when we talk about Bechira between good and bad. Should I make the right decision or am I going to do the wrong thing? And realizing how basically what Hashem is telling you is, I really control you totally. Remember when yesterday you wanted to go get pasta and you thought that's certainly something that's up to me. I have the money and I have the store right here. But it just didn't work out. Why? Because Hashem decided he didn't want you getting pasta. And these things happen all the time. You wanted to get somewhere at a certain time, and Hashem just said, sorry, not happening now. I'm not putting that into your hands. all kinds of things like that. So Hashem is basically demonstrating to us all the time, I'm constantly holding on. I'm deciding where to let go, where to close, where to let go, where to close, even in the things that are within our realm of Bechira. So therefore, it's almost like Hashem is teasing you when you're facing a test and you think, should I do the wrong thing? It's like Hashem is saying, you know what, here, I'm opening it up for you now. Yesterday, you wanted to do just something very pyrav, and I didn't let you, right? You couldn't have an orange when you wanted one because there just wasn't one to be had when you wanted it. That was my way of showing you that even simple things such as getting an orange, when I decide yes, when I decide not. So here, Hashem is kind of saying, oh, you want to do this wrong thing? Okay, fine, I'm opening the door. Go ahead, let's see you do it. The understanding that as you're contemplating what's going to be my route of action now, this is kind of like Hashem saying, okay, should I hold this in? Should I hold on to the reins here? Or should I open up and let her decide? Because some of us wants us to be conscious of that. And thereby we understand how Hashem is testing us when He does give us the ability to do things. V'yirsho me'ha'avoras machshavoseinu v'yitzorav ha'tovim v'horoyim. Where does Hashem give you a lot more control? This comes back to what we started discussing before. Your thoughts. Your mind. Where your mind is going to go. There you do have a lot more control. There it takes something much more extreme. In basically everything in our life, there are many things that just can not work out without extreme reality developing. A lot of times, there's things we want to do. I'm not talking about mitzvahs and aveiros now, certainly when it comes to mitzvahs and aveiros, but also in general, that things just don't work out the way you plan. But at least when it comes to my mind, I could decide what I want to be thinking when. That's much more in our control. So he says, Hashem gave you a lot more free rein when it comes to where you want your mind to be. And there also, Hashem wants to see, so what are you doing with your mind? Where are your thoughts? Where are your sentiments? What are you putting your emphasis on in terms of mental energies and emotional energies? I want to see that. V'yachshoiv b'maseves ha'Torah v'arosa mashiyesh baratzein elikav. And therefore, what he wants to see you doing is putting most of your mental and emotional energies into the realm of what can I be doing to please Hashem? This is where my mind is, and this is what Hashem sees going on inside of me. And that's basically what it's about. Hashem gave me the opportunity to please him. Hashem gave me the opportunity to choose to do the things that will please him. What can I be doing to please Hashem? And what are the things that I want to avoid because they will displease him? And mishtamish, and then a person dedicates himself to using any of his physical faculties or of his mental and emotional faculties, koichas nafshoi. What are things that I can do to please Hashem, and that will draw me closer to him? This is where my mental and emotional energies mainly are, and this is what Hashem will see going on inside me whenever he decides to take a look, which is pretty much always. So I'm just going to say, we're learning Chovos HaLevavos, okay? We're learning standards of the Rishonim from 1,000 years ago. He's exposing us to a very high bar. On the one hand, it's a little overwhelming and intimidating, but on the other hand, the way we approach this is, yes, these are standards from one of the greatest of the great from 1,000 years ago. And what we're trying to do is expose ourselves to his world and let it influence us to whatever extent we can handle. We're not going to be living like the Chovos HaLevavos did. But what we want to do is open ourselves up to it, move it onto our horizons, even if we're not going to be living it to the fullest all the time. That's the value of learning these Sfarim. Okay. Now he takes it further. And this person makes it an agenda in life to remove the smoke screen, we'll call it that, or the screen, the curtain of ignorance toward Hashem. These are unclear words, but here too, each expression here carries a lot of significance. Let's explain this. This is one of the agendas we want to be busy with our whole life. Yosem Vosach Hasichlus Bameyalav, to be dispelling the screen of ignorance toward Hashem. Meaning what? What on earth does that mean? Let's put this into very practical terms. You come into a world as a baby, you grow up, if you're living just the natural life in the natural world, you're operating in a world with its own rules, with teva, with nature surrounding you. But the truth is that behind all of teva, Hashem is all over the place. Just Hashem set Olam Hazeh up that it serves as a curtain that blocks him, and you could not see him. It's possible not to see him. That is the great nace of what Olam Hazeh is. Really, it's unthinkable if you know who Hashem is and how the upper worlds work. Olam Hazeh is a tiny speck of reality that's almost impossible. A reality where Hashem isn't just clear. Well, this is what Hashem set up. But Avigdor Miller used to say it as follows. It says, he wears light, sunlight. He wears it like a robe, and he spreads out the heavens in front of him like a curtain. Now let's understand something for a minute. Clothing and a curtain actually serve opposite functions. Even though they're both covering the person, they're both covering the person, but they serve opposite functions. How's that? The curtain is simply there to block the person, right? Keep you out of sight. Clothing is there, I'm not talking about the very basic tznius level, but the style of clothing you wear expresses who you are, where you put yourself, where you hold yourself. If we want to take it to the fullest degree, a uniform, right? A uniform is something that shows exactly what your standing is, what your level is, right? It expresses rank, etc. I am a soldier in this army. This clothing is there to convey. Otherwise, all people look the same, but it's the clothing that help identify and distinguish what are you about. And therefore, you see one person with a green uniform, you see another person with a white robe. You understand that person's a doctor and this person is a soldier. And the way we dress, I'll get an idea of where you hold yourself and what your affiliation is by looking at the way you're dressed. Right? So clothing is actually there to help pronounce identity. Okay? So versus a curtain, that's just there to block you. We don't want you to know what's behind. So Hashem is on the one hand, nature is there, serves as clothing for Hashem, so to speak, kiviyachol. And on the other hand, it serves as a curtain, meaning nature could simply be a smokescreen. There's a world of nature, Hashem is behind, but you can go your whole life without noticing it. All you see is a natural world of cause and effect. But on the other hand, if you look into it a little bit and you see how actually the sun is an unbelievable demonstration of Hashem, and the workings of nature are unbelievable demonstrations of Hashem, you reach the level again through the training of the Chovos HaLevavos, you go back to Shaar HaBchina, where when you look around at nature, you're sensing Hashem. You're seeing Hashem behind it. It's almost like you're keenly aware of his presence, you're feeling his presence because nature is bringing it out. The world around me is bringing it out. And this is what he means by saying, Yosir Masach HaSichlus Me'olav. You're born, you're naturally in a state where there's this screen of ignorance to Hashem, toward Hashem. I just see a natural world. I don't see Hashem operating all over the place. And we're here to try step by step more and more to dispel that and just move ourselves into a world where it's all about dynamics and interaction with Hashem. The wind blowing against me, I know what Hashem is doing right now. And I feel the wind blowing against my face. What's Hashem doing right now? Mashiva ruach. When I see the rain falling, what do I see? Oh, Hashem is cooking us a meal for next year. That's what's happened. Hashem is bringing down the next generation. We're mostly water, mostly rainwater. Hashem is bringing down the next generation. I see Hashem at work. And I might even wave when I see the rain and say, oh, Hashem, right? I see you're here now. But then the truth is, you don't have to go that far. You look at your hand and you say, oh, my hand is holding up. You know that your hand is not just a static piece of material. There's all kinds of activity going on in your hand in order for it to still be holding up. So I turned to Hashem, I said, wow, Hashem, you're here. Look at my hand. This is Yosir Asmasa Chasichus. We are constantly working to dispel that screen of ignorance. You know what I'll say in a bit of a simpler way, the way Rav Shimshon Pinchas said it. So he put it down in such a his classic, he had his way of taking very deep concepts and just putting them down in a very, very relatable way. He said it like this. He said, imagine if you and a cat are walking down the street together. You're walking down the street, there's all kinds of billboards, advertisements, this, that, okay? All kinds of things going on around. So let's say you see there's a billboard that has some sort of humorous advertisement. You might look at the billboard and chuckle, right? Or let's say it's a sign about something happening. You might look at it, you might get aggravated. You look at the billboard and it's talking to you. It's alive. There's a dynamic there. There's humor there. There's anger there, right? The cat looks at you and thinks you're crazy. Right? But what's there? There's color. Looks at the billboard and the cat either sees black and white or sees a little more color. You're in two different worlds. You're both standing in the same place, but you're seeing a lot more life and dynamics than the cat is, right? So this can be the difference between the person who's walking through a street where Hashem is all around him. The street is alive with Hashem, or the person who's walking through a dead street. And this is the idea of dispelling the screen of ignorance. And when you get to that place, question?
Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So in other words, the Or HaSalma is the clothing that we can that where we identify Hashem in nature. Like
Yes.
that's him showing himself to us.
That's right. Meaning all of nature could be one or the other. It can begin and end as a curtain that just blocks the person from being seeing Hashem. Right? What was it that said? Oh. I heard this said in a very humorous way by Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz. He said that apparently the Russians were the first ones to actually reach outer space. I guess the Americans were the first ones to actually get to the moon, but that was later. The Russians were actually the ones to make successful travel. So he said that when they came back for their first trip, so what's his name? The guy who was in charge then in Russia,
Christian.
Khrushchev. Yeah. And he's apparently said something like, "They were there and they saw that there is no God." Okay. I don't know how they figured that out, because if they were looking out this way, maybe he was on the other side of it. But I don't know. Whatever it is, he said something like that. Now, apparently, when the American team came back from the moon, and their first statements were the pasukim from Tehillim that said, "Kirema," they said, "When I see the work, your handiwork," they saw goyim, right? But they were awed by the godliness that they encountered in outer space. And those are the psukim that they conveyed. And they said, the psukim of Ma'en Esh Kisis Kerenu, we saw quite how little man is once we got up there. Right? So they were both up there and they saw opposite things. So Yitzchak Berkowitz said a mashal as follows. He said, the Louvre, it made headlines recently, right? The Louvre, the big art museum, the big famous art museum in France. He said there was a fellow who went for a tour there, and he was part of a tour group, and everybody's looking at the paintings, and they're like totally in awe and amazed. And he just keeps saying, "Looks like cottage cheese to me." Every painting he's looking at, he says, "Cottage cheese, cottage cheese." Everybody else is saying all kinds of things. Until finally, someone in the group turned to him and said, "You have cottage cheese smeared on your glasses." Right? So, this is the question: if you have cottage cheese smeared on your glasses, all you're going to see in life is cottage cheese. If you wipe it off, you might suddenly start seeing all kinds of other things. So all of nature can either be a curtain, right? It can be the cottage cheese that you can keep smeared on your glasses your whole life. I don't know. God, I see a world of natural workings. Or that itself could be the signal of Hashem. That itself can be the kaviyachol, so to speak, the clothing that's showing you Him. Okay.
relevant here, but is it that Hashem shows himself more to us, or we become more aware? Or is
Oh,
it a part of
that's a very good question. And this is kind of where he's going. Meaning, it starts with you making the efforts to see him, to find him. And that, as he's going to say soon, it starts becoming reciprocal. Meaning, we're going to see soon. The more you're making that effort, the more Hashem is going to start sending you those flashes. And show, you're looking for me. I'm going to show you myself here. I'm going to show you myself there. And this we'll see. He really builds this up to an amazing dynamic. Of, you know what, let's read this out now. He says, when a person does get to this place, he starts by seeing all the toivos that are surrounding him. And he goes from there to trying to see Hashem more and more. And as he becomes more and more keenly aware of Hashem, yilbash. And the more he starts sensing Hashem, he becomes that much more awed, that much more fearful even, and that much more self-conscious. It's like he always feels like he's operating under a microscope. The Avaboy, and then when he goes from there, he feels so awed. And yet he realizes that Hashem is telling him, no, but I want closeness with you. So that awe then turns into great love. Because if you're so great and I'm so tiny, people today, it's so common. People just have this like Hamish sense about Hashem. It's like, you know, I'm pretty significant. It makes perfect sense that Hashem should be fascinated with me because I'm fascinated with myself. And what else would someone be interested if not me? So my neighbor doesn't get that, but Hashem does. Right? So it's like, you know, we have a palsy relationship. But the true richness, I'm talking about just the quality of life when you realize quite how insignificant you are relative to Hashem. And appreciate the fact that yet he's telling you, I want a relationship with you. You feel like, you know, lahavdil, 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 the person who, like, if a world famous celebrity, you know, calls a kid over and says, here, I want you to spend the day with me. And the kid is like, oh, gaga-eyed. Lahavdil, lahavdil. Right? So here, you're like, oh, Hashem, you really want a relationship with me? That then turns into intense love. I can't believe it. Hashem is drawing me close. And you feel that much more of a desire to do things that please him. I actually have his attention. He's interested in me. What can I do to further that? What can I do to enhance that? And you become eager about it. So up till now, we've described the process, and this relates directly to the question you just raised. Up till now, we described the process of the person intensifying his own awareness, his own sense. What happens then? The us, then he says Hashem starts responding, and his response is just go and intensify. Then he'll suddenly find himself, he will find him, Hashem bringing much greater benefits on him. And he'll find Hashem providing with much greater lights, meaning he'll suddenly start becoming that much more aware. His sensitivities toward Hashem will become expanded because Hashem is actually actively moving into the relationship, so to speak, and pulling you closer in an active way. So this turns into a beautifully mutual dynamic of the person looking out for Hashem, reaching out for him, and Hashem responding by showing himself, pulling the person closer, and the person just feels how the relationship is getting greater and greater and deeper and deeper. It's like the pasuk that says, "Hashem ba'or panecho yaleichu." They go. So about the pious, they go in the light of your face and your shining countenance. Meaning, they, after a while of going in Hashem's way, you're not just walking along the road by yourself anymore. But you're more and more being bathed in Hashem's shining countenance. Okay? He has another couple of pieces to add here to round out this picture, but we'll stop here. Okay? We know that we'll take it from here next week. Tovav.
Thank you.
Come to you.